Blog Talk Radio.
It's camouflaged and it's live. If we know of him and his activity, we can see through his lies. Camouflage is deception. One thing I camouflage, I'm in false act of spirituality.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome again to another episode of 30 Minutes. I'm your host, Michael Staples, and this evening my guest is Siddhi Ellinghoven. In the late 70s, Siddhi found her spiritual master, Osho, through whom she was introduced to meditation, and since then she has been teaching meditation to others. Siddhi has a degree in social pedagogy and is the author of As It Pleases You, a book on adolescent sexuality. Additionally, Siddhi holds certifications in tantric shiatsu, kundalini yoga, nam yoga, and the Khalsa Way pregnancy yoga. Siddhi also offers a variety of cleansing workshops for body, mind, and spirit. Siddhi, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Micah.
So let's just start at the beginning here. Can you tell us a little bit about where your yoga path began? Was it also through Osho?
No, it was not. It actually began when my leadership and management career came to a completion because I felt really at a crossroad in my life. Huh? So I could have gone on with leadership and management, but I felt there was something missing for me personally in my life. And through that, I actually came to Kundalini Yoga, to Yogi Bhajan, and since then, that's all I do.
For those in our listening audience who aren't familiar with Osho, can you talk a little bit about him and his teachings?
Yeah, for me, you know, he was a very, very highly spiritual teacher. And what I'm left with after all these years, you know, I met him in a very early time, is that he really implanted in me the importance of meditation. You know? That for me, meditation became like brushing my teeth, something I have to do on a daily basis to keep my mind pure and clean.
Absolutely.
And that's the gift he gave me to this day.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us about what it means to practice yoga? Is there more to it than just challenging poses?
Yoga is very misunderstood in the Western world, in my judgment, huh? Because yoga is actually everything that brings you in union with yourself. For some people, that can be running a marathon. For some people, it can be jumping. For some, it can be reading. Whatever it is that brings you in contact with your essence. The asanas, even in India, are just a very small part of yoga. Unfortunately, in our Western world, we make it the biggest part.
Right. It's kind of like an exercise routine.
Yeah, it's more a sport. But, you know what, I always say better people do this kind of sport than do nothing. So it's a good entrance. But the asanas are not the end. They are just a way into finding yourself and being with yourself. So I would say yoga is really right now the biggest opportunity for us in our world to really come to more peacefulness. And I really don't mind which entrance people take. Some do it through mantras, chanting mantras, some through meditation, some through service. Whichever way it is, as long as people come to a place within themselves that they feel content, because out of this contentment we can go out and serve.
Absolutely. What are some of the benefits, both of yoga and meditation, to the practitioner?
I only want to speak for myself.
Absolutely.
So what I experience, I'm really called out of bed every morning. By 5 o'clock I'm sitting down and I'm doing my practice, because for me that's the only consistency in my life. Everything else is changing so dramatically and so much information is coming at me that I experience that my meditation and my yoga gives me the centeredness, the groundedness, the stability and solid feeling inside that I can really deal with all the challenges, good and bad ones, there's always both, in a graceful way.
Absolutely. Can you tell us a little bit about what Kundalini Yoga is?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always called the Yoga of Awareness. because in Kundalini Yoga, although we use asana postures like all other yogas, we also incorporate a lot of meditation, mantras, mudras, and pranayama. So it's a very complex yoga because it really covers all the facets of our being. Now, that's how it is distinct. You can do a hatha class and never really chant or never go into deep meditation. It's more focused on the physical limb. So in Kundalini Yoga, you really have to face yourself. So that's why they always call it a dangerous yoga. Actually, not dangerous.
I've never heard it described that way.
Yeah, you will hear that a lot. Oh, that's dangerous. You know, they breathe a lot. Yes, we do breathe a lot like everybody else. But through the intensity of covering all facets, you really have to face your demons. And that's where it can become dangerous. And, you know, because sometimes it's not great to look at yourself. And whatever's inside of you will come to the surface. So there's no hiding in Kundalini Yoga, no hiding for yourself and from yourself.
So you really get in touch with your own emotions and anything that's going on within your spirit.
Everything that's inside
comes
to the surface, and sometimes it's great and sometimes it's painful. It's all, you know, but the beautiful thing is when it comes to the surface, then you have the opportunity to look at it, you can move through it, and you can really move through it and out of it, and that's when you find liberation.
Do some people practice solely Kundalini Yoga
yes.
as their spiritual path?
Yes. Yes. A lot of people.
Going on to some of the other things you do, one of your specialties is prenatal or pregnancy yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about more of your work in that area?
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, prenatal yoga is right now, for me, honestly, the most important yoga that I teach. Because I really feel I have a calling to support the young mothers in our society. I think to really lead these new leaders that are coming in, onto this planet in a way that they feel really gotten, understood, and supported is crucial, because the way they are born, the way they will live. And there's a lot of scare right now for women and pregnancy, and I'm here to really give them confidence, trust into themselves, that they can do it, and that they trust themselves in a way that they are also getting more in touch with their intuition. So for me, pregnancy yoga is really taking a stand for our future generations. It's beautiful that there are cesarean opportunities. It's all beautiful that the medical world is available, but it's not the only world through which we should come onto Earth. It's all right when it's needed, but a scheduled C-section because, you know, it's more convenient,
mm-hmm.
I see as dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Because the baby hasn't given the imprint, I want to come. It's us telling the baby, you have to come
out.
You know? Yeah. So, and who do we know and who do we think we are that we tell the unborn soul, well, you're on our agenda? So it gives the wrong imprint.
Yeah.
And you have to know, Michael, right now in Brazil, 98% of babies come through cesarean onto Earth. That's shocking.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's shocking what's happening in the world. We had a critical point in history ever in regards to birth. Women get told they can't do it on their own. They need to be in the hospital. It is not true. Women know. If they are really in touch with themselves, they know how to give birth. There are beautiful midwives around. And yes, the doctor, the hospital is needed if there's an emergency. And I'm not against hospital. I think even here in Santa Barbara, we are blessed with a cottage hospital. People are also changing their minds, thank
yeah.
God. You know, so we have now a nice birthing center in Santa Barbara. So something is happening. But we are still working against the mainstream that thinks cesarean is the way to come onto Earth. So I feel really drawn to really support these new parents in a way that they understand the way their baby will be born, the baby will live, and it's their responsibility.
Can you talk a little more about what you mean by the way they are born, the way they will live?
The birth is the first major imprint. Yeah. So let's say if a breech birth. Huh? So if the baby doesn't come, you know, with a, let's go to the cesarean. You know, normally through a normal vaginal birth, there is the stretch that baby has to do to push itself out of the womb. So it really extends the leg and it pushes. Yeah, the cesarean baby won't have that experience. But it's something to push through, to go, you know, so they have to have this imprint. I'm getting through this, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So the cesarean baby gets pulled out. Huh? It's a whole different way of landing on this planet.
Yes.
Yeah, also the cesarean baby will have much harder time often to latch on, to reach the breast and to, you know, get nurtured. While a normal baby, vaginal born, much more likely, if this, you know, scenario is beautiful, will find the breast by itself right after birth, huh, if you give it the opportunity. So that these are imprints. Huh? I often observe cesarean babies, and I speak in general.
Of course.
We need to know that there are always, you know,
yes.
Also other people. But in general, I saw that cesarean babies like to go around challenges later in life,
mm-hmm.
because they don't have that imprint to go through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that does not mean that a cesarean baby will never go through challenges. We can even support that baby. After birth, we can give it the imprint of pushing. Huh? So that's what I explained to my moms, what they can do if it is a cesarean, because it was really necessary to, you know, have the baby alive. so, you know, it's always better.
Yeah.
Huh? So let's face it, the cesarean are phenomenal. We can be thankful, and you know, they really save so many little souls. But we can support the baby to also have the imprint, yes, I can do it, I can push through something. So always remember, the soul arrives, and the birth can they are getting through is the first imprint. How they land on Earth will always determine how they live.
I've never heard that philosophy before, but I find it very fascinating.
Yeah.
When a woman is in going through the pregnancy cycle, if she were to choose to have her child at home or in a home setting, and say, you know, it was a situation where the baby was breech, or there was some other complication, are there things that perhaps a midwife can do to correct that situation,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, do people need to rush to the hospital at that?
In the United States, I think there is no home birth allowed where the midwife can support this
mm-hmm.
pregnant woman. Well, but that's in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I just came from a workshop in England where, you know, a doctor still gives breech birth,
mm-hmm.
supports it. And he said it's one of the easiest births. Yeah.
Imagine.
It's so, there are so different opinions about it. And he explained how he is doing it. He supported over 300 breech vaginal births. And he said they were all easy. So it's, our doctors are not trained in it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our doctors are surgeons.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we have the complication with the insurance here in the United States. So it's all about a little bit of very fear-oriented.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so everybody has to support their own back. You know, so it's
literally.
Literally, yeah. So unfortunately, I assume that there are midwives, who, you know, who could support a breech birth, but I don't think legally they can.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about cleansing. What is the importance, in your own opinion, of cleansing? Why do it?
I personally think that we consume more toxins at this time in our history than we release on a day-to-day basis. You know, our air is not as fresh. Our water is not as pure. Our earth is not as pure. Just drive through our area with all these pesticides for the lawn, for the flowers. I mean, sometimes it's scary if you really think about it. So, and I think, you know, if we look at how many people are mentally full of toxins, huh? So I think a cleanse is not only there on the physical level, but it also cleanses the mind, it cleanses the emotion, and the body. So that's, for me, the most important cleanse. For me, it's, you know, you have to cover all.
Mm-hmm.
I like to do it on a regular basis because I really see that my body is my temple for my soul. And if my body is full of toxins, so will be my emotional state of being. And if you look around, there is so much obesity.
Yeah, so unfortunately.
Just use a day at the airport, and it's shocking if you face the reality we are in as a state of being right now. So for me, cleansing is crucial. Yeah, it's like a deep house cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, you know, every morning you brush your teeth. Yeah? So but once in a while you go in to the hygienist and you get a deep cleaning. And that's for me what the cleanse is about. It's a deep house cleaning of the body, the mind, the spirit. So, and I love to teach it because I think the purer we are, the more peaceful we will be. Because toxins create a lot of dis-ease that can lead to illness. And there's a lot around us, if you look, if you're honest. So many people are on antidepressants and, you know, a lot of mood enhancers and drugs and alcohol and, you know, so it seems like people are not happy anymore. Maybe they're not happy because they're not pure enough anymore.
Very possible. It seems like so many people I know are on things to make them feel good, things to make them go to sleep, things to help them through the day, things to help them fly, things to help them thrive.
Yeah. People depend on the outside.
Is there anyone who should not do a cleanse?
Yeah, I prefer not to have pregnant women in my cleanses. I think people who underwent just surgery, you know, and they need time to recuperate and recover, they can come to a cleanse a little later, when they found their balance again a little bit. So I will talk to every person who comes to my cleanse if I don't know them. You know, a lot of people redo the cleanse, you know. I teach it now for 12 years in Santa Barbara, and it's already a little cleanse community. So I know who's coming, you know, and then there are always, you know, a handful of people who have never done it. But I have personal contact with them, so I know where they are. Also, every cleanse is different, and every person in the cleanse maybe has a different diet, yeah, because in my cleanse I do not come from that there is one cleanse for everyone. I believe our blood is different, our fingerprints are different, and that's how our diet should be too. Well, you need something different for your system than I do. So if somebody, you know is really in need of, you know, some fish or something, I will support that. I will really look, what does this person need to really come into a pure state of being? Yes, and that's how I support them.
Do you believe in a certain, do you believe there's an optimal form of diet for the human body, like, you know, such as vegetarianism or what have you?
You know what, I don't think so.
Just like you said, you know, it's different for everyone.
I think it's different. You know, if I'm in India, I'm in a place where, in a city, there's no meat, no fish. It's totally, the whole city is vegetarian. There's no alcohol, no nothing. But these people, they live there forever. Yeah. So they grew up, their genes are already different than ours, right? I come from Germany, you know, where I got fat liver as a child and all kinds of stuff because after the war, that was what people thought is the greatest thing to eat.
Right.
So that does not mean I don't eat meat, but that's my personal choice.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't think that they're, like I said, our fingerprints are different. Our blood is so different. Everybody needs something different. In general, I think a lot of fresh vegetable, fruit, nuts, and seeds. Yeah, no pasteurized, no processed food. That I would say for everybody. I don't think any person on this planet needs processed and pasteurized or genetic modified food. I think that's a crime. Yeah, that's my personal judgment.
I'm with you on that one.
I'm really upset about it. So, but then if it comes to meat or fish, I leave it up to everyone.
Can you talk a little bit about what one might expect in a cleansing regimen,
mm-hmm.
Especially for folks who have never done one before?
Well, we gather in the morning, and every morning I teach a set. And every set is designed for either the liver. One morning we work the liver, the next day we work the kidneys, then we work the pancreas, the stomach, the lungs, the heart, you know, all the systems in the body. So the yoga part of it, first of all, it's doable for everyone. So we are not going into pretzels, postures. So it's actually often very simple postures that achieve amazing benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's where we gather as a group. Then we are on a specific diet, like I said, with varieties, you know, and people pick and choose. And that's actually the cleanse. Yeah. Then there is a bath at night, a detox bath that's optional. You know, there's a way of how to prepare yourself in the morning, how to get up, how to shower. So there's a little regimen there.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, it's really doable for everyone, even if they work. It's just in the first few days, it could be a little overwhelming because every time we face something new, people get a little, you know, irritated.
Oh, yeah.
But after a few days, they're in the rhythm. You know, and I think because we do it as a community, now there's so much support.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. Everybody goes through something at some time. Yeah? You know, the first person cries, you know, in the first class, the next and the second or the third. You know, all these emotions and feelings come up, but they are seen as a detox. And it's really nice that everybody's there for the other person.
You mentioned once before when we spoke previously about something new you were working on, called a brain cleanse.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about it. That's my first brain cleanse that we started in December. I became very aware of, you know, I teach a lot of mudras in India,
mm-hmm.
finger postures, and I became so aware that the finger postures have such an effect on the brain. So that led me to thinking more about the brain. You know, how do I do so much for my heart, I do so much for all my organs, but I really never did anything consciously for my brain except meditating. But how do I increase my mental capacity, you know, instead of going the opposite direction, which a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
We are facing Alzheimer's and dementia to an extent.
It's frightening.
And who wants to be, you know, for me, growing up and becoming more older, it's actually the most beautiful age. It's the golden age. But what if I'm in the golden age and I can't remember anything?
Right.
You know, so that's
don't
not
even know
golden.
Who you are.
No, and that's really painful.
Mm-hmm.
Not only for the person, but for their whole surrounding. So I think now is the time to be proactive and to really purify the brain. So we do specific postures, specific pranayams, breathing techniques, mudra series. That are a little complicated, so that the brain really has to work while we are on a specific diet. Yeah, I'm really excited about this because I think this will be a new chapter.
I think you've answered this a little bit, but can you talk a little bit about how cleansing, how you cleanse the mind and the spirit,
mm-hmm.
or how that's incorporated into a cleanse?
Well, it is incorporated into the cleanse because there's always meditation in the cleanse. I will never teach a cleanse without meditating. And it's not meditate. You don't have to be a master in meditation to be part of a cleanse. You will learn to meditate. I think that the stillness of the mind is necessary. It's like the foundation so that we can live with the information overload.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to consciously counteract what's coming at us at this time with more stillness and quietness. So we have to be more, if you go shopping or so, there's always music, you're always getting bombarded. The inner stillness is out the window for most people. Then they watch TV at night and, you know, iPhone, iPad, they forgot the eye. That's what my teacher said, Guru always said, what about the eye? Then I think in meditation, that's where you come to, the eye. And if the mind becomes peaceful and centered, and then from there you go out into the world and act. I think that's what we want to accomplish with the cleanse, because everything you think creates a feeling, mm-hmm. and the feeling creates the emotion. And then from the emotion, we create an action in the body. So then I think that's why we need to create more peacefulness in the mind, that the body can also relax. Because why are there so many stress symptoms? Why is everybody stressed out? We are living in paradise. I always call we are the blessed ones. If we really look into the world and see how we live, how come 1 out of 8 children in the United States, they all think they are sad and unhappy? It's scary what's happening right now. I think the number was even wrong. I think 8 out of 10.
I'm sure it's very high.
It's very high. So why are we all unhappy? Why are we all stressed out? What are we running after? So I think it's not so much running after something, but running towards ourselves. We're changing the direction. And for me, that's what meditation is about. Every morning when I come, this is actually where I sit. Every morning I sit here. It's like my sacred time. It's just me and the spirit or God or whatever, people's religion or, spiritual ways are. But it's my time. My time being in silence. I'm just doing my prayers and there's no interruption. And that's where also when I use a lot of mantras in my sadhana and my spiritual practice, because through the use of the tongue, we hit the upper palate. People don't know that. And when you hit the upper palate, there are 84 acupressure points.
I did not know that.
And when you hit with and if you always repeat the same mantras, then you hit, it's like you're playing the piano. You hit always the same point at the upper palate. That's how you actually purify your subconscious mind. It's through breath, through mantra, or hypnosis. But hypnosis comes from the outside. So breath and mantra is your own tool to go into your subconscious mind and to overwrite the programs that need to be overridden, because they are old programs that are still running.
Right.
And you want to, at one point you want to overcome them.
Yeah.
So and that's, I really look like, how do I want to evolve, in which direction? And from there I look into what kind of mantra do I need, and then I use this for 1,000 days, and I just, for the next 1,000 days I do this one mantra over and over again. And then things are changing. Things are just falling off. It's amazing. You really can see how you really change just by using mantras.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you have coming up in the new year?
Yeah, I will have my brain cleanse next month. Already we start in December, an Alchemy Art Center in Santa Barbara, the 3rd through the 14th. Then I have a regular cleanse at Yoga Soup in Santa Barbara. It is 11th of January to the 21st of January. Then I will be gone to India for 2 years, 2 months.
2 years?
Maybe that's what's coming soon. Maybe that was my new thing. I also will start teaching a cleanse facilitator training because, I've been doing it for 12 years and I think it would be great if other people would step up and do it too. So I will do this. I will, I teach in South Africa, I will teach in Canada, in Europe. So I will be all over, but I always come home and teach here too.
You're a very busy lady.
Yeah.
Or a very busy yogi.
Yeah. Both.
Yeah. If folks are interested in getting more information about yourself or your classes, mm-hmm. what is the best way for them to do that?
Well, they can go to my website, and it's Siddhis Yoga. It's Siddhis, and then yoga.com. Or they, they can find me if they Google Siddhis Yoga. It's very simple. And there's a phone number, there's an email, it's all at your fingertips.
On your iPad or iPhone or et cetera.
Yeah.
Just remember to put it down on occasion.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Well, Siddhi, thank you so much for joining us this evening. I really appreciate it. This has been lots of wonderful information. And maybe we'll have you back again sometime soon to talk about what you're doing in the future.
Okay. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you. Please come back next week for another episode of 30 Minutes when I'll have another guest with another story to share. Thank you and good night.